Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys. Well, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And
McCoy Moore.
Mr. McCoy Moore.
Welcome, bud.
Thank you.
He's all grown up now.
I know. He's had that beard since he was like four or whatever, though.
14.
Yeah.
We're same, close. Actually. Yeah.
I couldn't grow mine until I was 30. Like, I'm serious.
He's got the best beard in the room, though.
Well, that's true.
Maybe one of the best. Damn. I always say, like, Kurt has a 5 o'clock shadow at noon.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if he was to shave, it would be dude, fully back in like 2 months.
Yeah.
You
know? In high school, I had a beard. And I remember, like, on Drumline, like, the other Drumlines thought that they had a grown man playing, like, in Drumline competition.
You're just somebody's, like creepy
like,
uncle.
Why is that, like, 25-year-old guy playing snare drum in high school marching
band? It's so great.
Dude, I had one in high school, too, and they, I went to a private school, mm-hmm. and they gave me, like, 5 detentions in a week, and they asked me to leave. So I had to leave or I was getting expelled.
Outlaw country.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, big outlaw guy.
I went to a Catholic high school, and I may have gotten suspended for a few days for drinking in an away girls basketball game. Cheers to that.
I'll cheers to that. I've been suspended 3 times out of school.
Damn.
Yeah. But I'm a good kid, obviously.
Yeah.
Once was in middle school for a fight. Then what was the other two? Oh, shit. Once was my buddy had this like it was like a slot machine, and when you pulled on the slot, it like zapped you. And my buddy Mark gave it to our German teacher and zapped her with it. And then she told the front office, and they threatened to expel us for bringing a taser to school.
Wow, it's like the 5 gum thing where you pull a gum.
Yes,
stick
it's exactly it. Like that. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, shit, man, it's good to have you on, dude.
Thanks, bro. Yeah. Thank y'all for having me. I appreciate it.
We've been friends for a long time.
Very long time.
Yeah. How old are you in real life now?
I'll be 24 next month.
So loud.
Dang.
With that beard, too, man. Wait till he's 30.
I feel like in my head you're a lot younger, but you're all grown up now.
Yeah.
Shoot, I feel like I've lived 4 lifetimes in the last 4 years.
That's what, good, just like though. Writing songs and like not having a job? Or
living,
like
living here.
No, Nashville's fast.
Yeah, dude.
It is.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I say, you know, I moved here in 2020, and I was like, I feel like I've been here 6 months and 10 years all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know?
Literally. It's kind of wild. I moved mm-hmm. in 2022, and it's just like, not 2022.
2020 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard
that. But yeah, I moved then, and it was kind of weird because I was 19 when I moved.
Mm-hmm.
So all of my buddies were like going out and doing this thing, and I couldn't.
I remember you so not being able to get into bars.
Yeah, it sucked. I would have to go play rounds and then leave.
Yeah. We make people do that right now still.
Sad. Yeah. Y'all get it.
Yeah. But we had this kid, Colton, who was playing, and he tried to get in early, and they were like, no, buddy, half hour before your round.
Live Oak. Like, they used to bud. Kick me out, man.
Yeah.
I'd come and play the Razor Rowdy round.
And yeah.
Like, nope.
They're like, come back in an hour, bud. Yeah. Go hang out at that coffee shop for a little. Get some pizza down at the pizza bar.
Little Chicago. But, yeah.
But, yeah, we've been talking about this for a while, but it seems like the
time is
the right time. Yeah. Yeah. Things are moving in positive directions for you all over the place.
For sure.
I mean, hopefully. You know, you got to town and songs cut, you know, writing, publishing deal, all of that nonsense. But now it's the start of the artist career.
I know. It's kind of wild. I moved here to be an artist, but
mm-hmm.
got here, and I kind of wanted to just find my lane, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I always believed that it was going to be songs first. So I started doing that, and then thankfully signed at Smack, and the artist stuff just kind of fell into place over the last year and a half.
Well, it's like everyone you hear that's an artist talks about, man, I didn't realize when I was writing all those songs back in the day that I was writing for my whole career.
Yeah.
You know, you hear that so often.
So true.
It's like sometimes it feels like a rush for people.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you have a catalog of songs that you love that you wrote about your childhood or about nothing even, you know, you can always go back to those and build on that with more songs as you can continue to do it. But
for sure.
You know, even the big dogs that like they were writers first, like you just don't have as much time to do it.
Yeah.
You know, when you get really rolling.
It's wild.
And I mean, you're starting to roll this year, man.
Yeah, playing a lot of shows, doing all that. So it'll be fun. But it's gonna be an adjustment for sure, like getting used to I was writing 5 days a week last year.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're telling me I may get to write a Monday and Tuesday in the summer and stuff, and it's just like, golly.
Wow.
It's not normal for me, but
no,
it's cool.
I mean, you can write on the road, especially like if you're out with other artists or, you know, anything like that, or if you have guys in your band, if you're doing full band shows that mm-hmm. you write with, like a lot of people still do that to keep it rolling, but
yeah.
that's a different
kind
of writing.
I feel like I'm going to have to.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, if you're used for to sure. it and if you like scratching that itch,
it's important
yeah.
to me.
Absolutely.
Sure. So you got the talent in 2020.
Yeah.
And with the were you like, I'm going to be an artist right away? Or was it like, I'm going to come write songs for a while first? Or did you want to be an artist since you were a kid? Or
so I always wanted to be an artist, but it, you know, it's like that when you're growing up in a small town, it's like unattainable, like the unattainable thing. Yeah. So it was kind of just like out of reach for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I did what every kid does, played baseball, did the whole nine. And then, it was actually the Luke show in 2017 was the kind of the turning point for me where I was like, oh yeah, I want to do that. So I wanted to be an artist, but I knew that like the songs that I was writing were terrible. And so I'm like, dude, I'm just going to move there and suck for a long time.
Yeah.
Until I can figure it out just a little bit and make something happen. So thank God it all worked out. But
can you elaborate on that Luke story? Because I know it's such a great story, and I want our listeners
to check
it. Yeah.
I think you had just started on the road.
Yeah, I think 2017 is my first year with Luke full time.
Yeah. Also the first year Raise Rowdy existed.
Dude, I still have the OG like blue and yellow Raise Rowdy hat. Rob gave it to me at one of the shows yeah. that year. But I still have that hat, so that's fun. I gotta find that.
Bro, that hat, I remember when that happened, Rob was like, hey, can you send me another hat? It was like those were our first hats we ever made.
Yeah.
Like that batch were the first hats we ever made. And Rob was like, I gave it to this kid. I said, if you guess my age, I will give you my Waffle House hat.
Oh.
Is what I don't know.
That's a real thing. It was House Blues in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. So nuts.
Wow.
And he was like, and then he got it right. So I had to figure out how to not give him the Waffle House hat because it's the
and
only
it's
one
in
the
Country Music Hall of Fame now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude.
It's crazy.
Well, he was like, yeah, I'll give you the Waffle House hat if you guess this. And I was like,
such
all
a right. Rob thing to do.
Yeah. And I guessed it, right? And he's like, he gave me the Waffle House
mm-hmm.
hat. But then he was, I could tell it was like eating him.
Yeah, of course.
And so I gave it back, and he gave me a bunch of stuff, and the Raise Rowdy hat was one of them. But anyways, the Luke story, I was dating a girl in high school, and you know how that goes. It's like you think you're going to marry this girl, but truthfully, you never do, hardly ever. But yeah, me and her were together, and my birthday is in April. So in April, she knew I was a huge Combs fan, Vine, the whole nine. I was just like...
Oh, OG fan.
Oh, dude, yeah, huge. And so on Vine, I'm like scrolling and I see this big red bearded dude playing songs. And I'm like, this guy's good. And it was kind of that thing where it's just like, this guy's normal. Like he's like my buddy down the road. Like, so I knew, I was like, man, if he's doing it, like maybe I could try, not knowing Luke has so much talent. It's insane. But like, at that point, it was just one of those things where I'm like, I want to try it at least. And I didn't have a guitar, didn't have anything, but me and this girl were dating, and she knew I was a huge fan. So for my birthday in April, she got me these tickets for it was at Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater in Tampa. She got me the tickets, and me and her ended up breaking up in between April, when my birthday was, and June, when the show was. So I kept the tickets. And my mom was like, hey, I'm gonna go get you better tickets. I'm going to do that. And so I gave the two tickets that she got me to my brother and his girlfriend at the time. And then my mom got me tickets on the row right behind the pit and meet and greet passes. And we go to the show that day. It was June of 2017, the day the first record, This One's For You, came out. And so we're sitting there and... meet and greet's happening, and he plays two songs, and then everybody gets to ask a question. So me, I'm like nervous as hell, don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just like, I am not asking anything about music whatsoever. And so it got around to me, and I'm like, if you could hunt anywhere, where would it be? And he's like, Africa or something, you know. And then sure enough, my mom's sitting next to me. She's the next question. She's like, so if you had any advice for a kid that wanted to do what you do, what would you say? And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, no. No. And so he said something real nice and everything. And we went back to the seats, and y'all played the whole set, and then Hurricane was the last song. And he walked off stage and grabbed this CD, and it said, I bought this with my own money at Target, had the date on it, signed it. And he was like, you know, I met this kid in my meet and greet, and I saw a lot of myself in him, and I remember how it was when I was starting out, and I see him, he's sitting right there, and he points at me. But me, I'm like, I'm back there behind a little iPhone 8 like this, just recording the whole thing, have no idea he's talking about me, and he's pointing at the camera. And my mom's like, go! And I'm like, oh! And so I drop the phone and run up there, grab this thing, and by this point, I'm just like losing it. Because it's the cool, I mean, I'm 16 years old. It's like the biggest point of influence in my life. So we go sit back down. My mom's like, hey, I'm going to run to the bathroom real quick. So my mom runs to the bathroom, calls me like 5 minutes later. She's like, hey, can you come up here? And I'm like, I thought you just went to the bathroom. Why do you want me to come up here? So I walk up there, and sure enough, my mom's with Ethan
Strunk. Our tour manager, yeah.
Yeah. And so my mom's talking to him, and he's texting probably Kathy or Luke or somebody, and sure enough, like 2 minutes later, they're like, hey, just come back here. So I walk back there. Luke's back there chilling and gives me a hug. And then a couple minutes later, we all went to the bus. Kurt was there, Jake, Tyler, everybody, Rob. And we go back there, and I can't tell all of this. but we walk on the bus. It's Luke, me, all the boys, and my mom. We go on the bus, and we're there for a few minutes, and Luke's like, well, let's go to the back of the bus. And we talk on the back of the bus for like an hour and a half. Just, I mean, started his life to where he was then, same with me. And at the end of it, he was like, man, I really want to keep up with you. Like, here's my number. And gave me his number, and probably annoyed the hell out of him for like a year. Mm-hmm. And then just stopped. But yeah, that night was the night I went home, and I was like, whatever I felt there is like exactly what I want to do for somebody somewhere.
Yeah.
So that kind of just changed my whole life and lit the fire under me. I met some friends up here, crashed on couches. Josh Phillips, Bryce Malden, all those guys. They let me crash on couches for a little while, and they finally, one of them gave me a call and let me move up here in 2020. Wow. So it's kind of crazy how it all happened, but yeah.
It's nuts.
Nick, do you have a moment like that in your life when you knew that you wanted to move to town? Or?
I mean, yeah. I had a dream of moving to Nashville, like, even before Raise Rowdy existed, just, like, in my head of, mm-hmm. like, man, it wouldn't be amazing to live there, like, where this thing happens.
It's wild.
And we had, I remember we started coming down to town. I mean, I'm already an adult. I'm, like, you know, your parents' age when they had you, you know? Like, but we started coming down to town, and I had been extensively going to country concerts and, like, living in that world. But then we came down because Southwest got direct flights from Pittsburgh, and they were cheap. So mm-hmm. we were like, well, let's go to Nashville. That's amazing. I love country music.
Yeah.
Then we got down here and spent like $3,000 in a weekend, which wasn't the best idea.
Yeah.
Man, we had just such a good time. And then it went from like, I was always a guy that discovered music. So it went from like, well, none of that music that is anywhere that I was, you know? Yeah. So then I figured out where that lived. I found stuff like Revival. I found stuff like Whiskey Jam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, these guys. And then I found people that were posting videos from, like, all these Peachtree shows and all the regional Southeast shows. And I'm like, the lady that was, like, up front posting full videos of all the songs of, like, Jordan Fletcher and all the mm-hmm. people that were just getting their start. And I was like, man, these songs are just as good as the ones you hear on the radio. For sure. Why hasn't anyone covered them? And I started covering them, you know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Huge. Just before I forget, shout out to your mom for being awesome, dude.
Yeah,
dude,
I know.
She sounds like my mom. Like, and my mom's, I love my mom. She's the best. Both my parents are so supportive, and obviously you have the same thing. So
for sure.
Huge shout out to her for that.
She was definitely the one that kind of facilitated that whole thing. So
she was your manager before you had one.
Yeah. You know, she was great. It was just kind of wild. I mean, my family is definitely, they've always been supportive of that thing where it's just like, you know, when I wanted to play baseball, it was like, we'll make sure that you have what you need to play baseball. If you want the new bat, we'll get the new bat at some point. Like, it was one of those things. They've always been really supportive, and my mom definitely played a huge part in that turning point for sure.
Yeah,
it's a wild story, man. I love it.
Me too.
It makes my heart feel good.
So great. And I remember hearing from Rob about that hat, right? Because, of course, I sent him another one right away. And then also I remember, honestly, being in, like, I think it was the Facebook page for Luke's Fan Club and me and you interacting on the same posts.
Yep.
You know? And I didn't – again, you looked like you were 20 when you were, like, 14. So I didn't realize you were as young as you were, you know what I mean? But
had a little goatee at the time.
Yeah.
I'm barely growing.
Yep. But that's what I remember, like, when you moved to town, I figured you were older, you know what I mean? Because I was like, wait, what? I was like, we weren't, like, talking to each other, but we were, like, talking in line with each other, you know what I mean?
And I was like, he definitely has an older soul, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say so.
Yeah, musically, too. Like, the music that you love. Like,
yeah.
When we were over Rob's house sitting at the bonfire and hearing you guys talk about music that I don't know at all from, like, the 70s and 80s, I'm like, I know stuff from, like, 1990 to current, you know? Yeah. I know some older stuff, but that was not stuff that I got fed.
Thank God my grandparents had Willie's Roadhouse playing in on Sirius.
It's crazy, but that's how it works.
It's wild, man. It's crazy how it all happens.
It is, man.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're in town and you've got a song out. And now we've got a second song coming out.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, it's Something to You came out in February, and I mean, I was blown away. We got all these, you know, all these playlists and everything. And for a first release, I was like, this is awesome. Like, it's wild to watch it, and can't make that up. It's coming out next. It's like good old boy love song, you know, simple thing, but it's just kind of a sweet little love song.
Yeah. Who are you working with on production?
Will Bundy.
Yeah.
Is my producer.
Will's been crushing it.
Dude, he's great. He's just like good old boy from Virginia. Just chill. Kind of just, honestly, just like me. He texts me sometimes. He's like, hey, dude, we're burning wood out at the property if you want to swing by. And I'm like, hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
You're like, that's what we like.
It's like not even music related. We're just buddies, which makes it fun.
Well, that makes when you're working in the room together, you have a different level of connection too. You know
for
what I mean?
Sure.
Like, he could give you a hard truth and you're going to be like, all right.
Yeah. You and usually I found he's right.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
That's why they're producers.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Well, no, so you talked about Smack. So when did you sign over at Smack? Because I know that was a little while ago now.
Yeah. I signed there in 2023, July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And dude, I had a few offers from different companies and everything. And I met with Lee over at Smack and he didn't offer me. And I was like, damn it. Yeah, I was like, damn. It's like the pretty girl
hard
that
to
don't
play.
Want you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, that makes me want her even more kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we had another meeting. We went to like Barcelona or something. And the next day he offered me and I was like, this is exactly where I want to be. It just made the most sense, man. Every time you walk in over there, it's just like, golly. Yeah. Friendship, man.
Dude, that's it. And we've, you know, this is a common theme of podcasts with us is like finding the right team is so important.
For sure.
Finding the right people that believe in you and that you work well with. And that as an artist, you need to feel comfortable so that you can create great art.
Absolutely.
You know, like that's how it works.
And I've found that like, because my thing has always been team.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I didn't have the right team, like none of it would work for me, really. There's no way I'm doing it on my own, you know? So I feel like in every aspect of the thing, I've kind of, whether it be Smack or the Neil Agency or track management or anything, it's always, they've all aligned immediately, which made sense for me.
Yep.
And they make my life easier in so many areas to where I can just focus on the one thing a lot. So that's been awesome having all them, you know?
Yeah. How did you meet this guy over here, Tracker? Yeah. Off camera, sorry.
Yeah. Me and Tracker, so this is kind of wild. So Tracker followed me on Instagram. I don't remember when this was. Sometime last year. Tracker follows me on Instagram, and I'm like, Tracker ATX, like, who's this guy? Who is this guy? And I had no idea. I'm just totally oblivious.
He's just a baby boy.
just a 49-year-old baby boy. Yeah. And, dude, I'm like, I don't know who this is. So I call Ryan Beisel at the Neil Agency. We've been working together for a while, too. And he's like, told me who Tracker was. And I'm like, oh, well, I feel like a dumbass.
Who's Tracker, for those who don't know Tracker?
Tracker is my manager.
Yeah.
He owns track management. He's the best. My life a whole hell of a lot easier, for sure. He followed me on Instagram one day, and I was like, I don't know who this guy is. And he told me that Jeremy Groves at Smack was playing Joey Moy demos for pitch. And he was going to see another artist and kind of out on the road watching people, looking for a new artist to sign. And Joey, I guess, they were having a meeting, and Joey told him that he should find out who I am. And I really, like, I didn't have no artist stuff going on.
That's so sick.
That's absurd. Dude, Joey Moy, bro.
Wild.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't have any artist stuff going on. There was talks about it, but really nothing going on. And, we got connected and went to Super Rica, and pretty much the rest is history. We've been working together ever since. But it, like I said, it just, when it feels right, it feels right, you know? Mm-hmm. And I felt that from the beginning, that it's the perfect part of my team.
That's wild, man. It's like, you know, Joey Moy produced Nickelback, FGL, Morgan Wallen is like, hey, Tracker, you should hit this guy up. That's a huge compliment, man.
I know. And I'm very thankful that, you know, Joey would say that. And I'm thankful that everybody's believing in me like they are, you know. It's awesome.
Crazy. I would believe in you if you couldn't sing a note. I just think you're the best. You know, luckily you can. I just think you're a great guy.
I think you're the best.
Thanks, bro. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Surfside cheers.
Yeah.
God bless you. No, and honestly, dude, your energy is great.
That's what it is.
Yeah. You're stubborn in the right ways. Yeah. Right? To really be an artist in this town, you have to believe in yourself more than anyone else does.
For sure.
Right? And so you have to have that.
Yeah.
Really, to not be successful, to be very successful, you have to have that, you know? Sure. And, you know, just things that I see in you, watching you talk about music that you love, everything that you do, you have passion in.
Thank you, bro.
You know, of course.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, man, it's all I really know. I mean, you send me back to Florida and ask me to, you know, build you a fence, I probably wouldn't crush it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to.
You want me to pour concrete? Gonna have to be a pretty screwed up sidewalk.
Yeah,
for sure.
Pour cold beers.
But yeah, man, it's really the only thing that I know how to do, and it's been a blessing too. Just like everybody in this community around here, and everybody that I've met has kind of made it what it is for me. It made it me love it even more than I already did. So, I mean, it's guys like y'all and, you know, the people I get to work with all the time that make it what it is for me. I wouldn't know how to do anything else, but golly, if the people that I surround myself with weren't here, I wouldn't, don't know what I'd do.
No doubt, man. I mean, that's the case for every artist, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A little humility goes a long way. I appreciate it. That's great. Yeah, man.
But speaking on doing things.
Yes.
You're hitting the road this year, too.
A lot.
Like, a lot. I've seen you on some of these festivals we're working with, and
Tailgate and Tall Boys.
Yeah, dude, that was exciting. Like seeing your name on the Tailgate and Tall Boys lineup.
It was exciting for me too.
Yeah, so sick. And that's I don't know if you know this, but I've emceed only one festival previously, and that was Tailgate and Tall Boys. And I emcee the side stage at Tailgate and Tall Boys.
So you're going to be emceeing.
I'm
going to
be the one introducing you on the side stage.
Come on, baby.
Lord willing.
Come on, baby.
Hey, give us an example.
Oh, no, definitely not. It has to be in the moment.
Are before. You ready to rumble, McCormick?
And then he walks out and plays a ballad. Yeah.
Ladies and degenerates, children of all ages.
Okay, that's great. Hey, don't steal that. But, that's copyrighted Nick material right there.
No, oh, but man, dude, like again, like I didn't start Raise Rowdy until I was 35. Yeah. So like I never had even thoughts of emceeing festivals, right? Yeah. Like. We MC in town events. I don't even really want to do that. You know, like, I'm like, can we have someone else do this, please? I'm getting kind of old, you know, but it's so bucket list. Like,
dude, yeah,
just getting to do it. And then now having a year after I did the first one to like, be like, all right, like, how do we make this more fun for the audience?
Yeah.
And you know, like,
dude, it'll be so awesome.
Dude, last year we got at Tailgate and Tall Boys. We had Lacade played.
Yeah.
Cade's like first round was with us. Right.
Oh, wow.
And Max King is in Lacade's band.
No kidding. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yep. And wow. Max was with us the year before at Tailgate and Tall Boys helping us sell merch. So he went from helping us sell merch, just one of our buddies we brought to help up. Him and Callie came up.
Yeah.
To now being on stage with Lacade. You know what I mean? That's wild. And getting to intro them, which is sick.
Dude.
And so it's so full circle. Like I always say, like, I feel like as Raise Rowdy, we are like the side stage thing. Right. Like we're covering people before it pops. Like we're ambassadors for the good before everyone knows that it is there. Right.
For sure.
So it's super
Y'all
cool for me.
Y'all have always been that.
Yeah. It's like, that's why we started it, you know? So it's cool to get to do the side stage for me. Cause I'm like, that's where I feel at home.
Yeah.
You know, like absolutely. These artists that are growing, that have gotten to play our stages in town, you know, and now it's like, that's the next level of it. You know?
Dude, y'all are a main stage thing. Come on.
Well, we are, but Matt can do that. We'll have you on the side stage.
Yeah, we'll put Beryl on that one.
I think part of the Raise Rowdy thing is just like kind of like the cool kids in the back, you know, smoking a cigarette while the football team's doing their thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't the football team, but I was still that kid. You know?
They're the cool kids club on the side. Dude.
Yeah.
They're just like, hell yeah.
Well, it's funny too, because, I mean, Raise Rowdy's changed
a ton.
We were grown adults at shows just loving music and just being ambassadors to good times, good friends, and amazing music.
Yeah.
And my thing is I would listen to a song so many times in a row that I would just crush through music.
That hasn't changed, though.
No, absolutely not. But I would do that with like all the songs that were mainstream songs. And then I'd be like, I can't listen to these songs anymore. I went through Luke Bryan's entire album too many times. Like, what else is there? And that's where the like love and the kind of like what I call like A&R for the fans.
Yeah.
You know, like we're like, hey, this is cool. You should listen to this if you're looking for more stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
They're called Turnpike Troubadours.
Yeah.
And now
go
they're
check
called
them out.
McCoy Moore.
Come on. Yeah. But that's really what it is, man. It's like there's so much good music out there.
For sure.
There's so many talented voices. As we're talking about, it takes an army to really get it to where people are hearing it.
For sure.
It really does.
Absolutely.
Didn't really realize that till I got to town.
And there's so many different things now, too, with like streaming and playlists and this and that. It's like all the pieces kind of have to be there to make it like really pop.
Yeah.
You know, TikTok is a great example. It's just like that system is crazy, dude. Like,
well,
crazy.
But it's like,
a lottery resource. Ticket.
It is, but at least you can get a lottery ticket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? You're not having to spend $100 on the lottery ticket. You get to keep buying them.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, wild. Do you want a lottery ticket? You got to spend some time to get it.
Yeah. Just cost your soul. Cost
your time.
Yeah.
But it's like, but if you're not getting any lottery tickets, you're not going to win.
100%.
Right?
Absolutely.
So like, that's the thing.
Post
like,
the lottery ticket.
Yeah, you got to be there to get the lottery ticket, you know?
Absolutely.
And, I mean, all socials are kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and they always have been. Vine, you found Luke because Luke popped up because Luke was engaging with people, man.
Yeah.
That's how you found Luke.
It's wild.
You know, that's Vine is, in theory, part of why you are in music.
It definitely, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That, at a young age, made you be like, man, I love this thing.
It's wild.
It is to think about it like that.
It is crazy to think about it. I mean, if you think about all the pieces that kind of just like, my pastor gave me, like lent me my first guitar.
Yeah.
And Luke on Vine. Like all the pieces that kind of Jeremy telling Joey that told Tracker. You know, mm-hmm. it's like all these different things that kind of lead into a career is wild to me.
Yeah.
Just insane, dude.
Well, and part of it, too, is I remember before I was in town, people being like, you got to be there.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be in town. It could work somewhere else, but it's way easier to work when you're doing it in plain sight in front of people. Right?
Absolutely.
And that's part of what you ran into. If you weren't at Smack writing great songs that have your voice on them for demos, you would have never got heard by Joey Moy, who would have never sent that to Tracker. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So could it have worked otherwise? Absolutely. But the story would have been different.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think it's a pretty cool story.
It's a damn cool story. That's why we're talking about it on the podcast.
And it's just starting, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're still building the story day by day.
Yeah.
We'll have you on in a year from now again on the podcast, and then maybe it'll be, you know, even bigger. Of course it will be, but it'll just be like a year of like touring. We'll see. You know, it might be like, I'm tired, boss, you know, or whatever.
Check in with McCoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we talked about Tailgating Tall Boys.
Yeah.
What other festivals? Do you have other festivals on the line?
We're doing, what's that? Voices of America?
Voices of America.
Yeah, Voices of America.
The one in Ohio?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Westchester? Something like that.
Sounds right. And Whiskey Jam's involved with that one, too.
Yes, yeah. Yep. We're doing the Whiskey Jam stage.
Sick.
That'll be fun. Going out with Hardy this year. Jim Bob tour, so that'll
Congrats,
be fun.
Congrats, man.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Going
to see Europe. Going to see the UK for the first time.
Have you left the country before?
Never in my life.
Not even Mexico or Canada?
Nope.
Man, wow. What a blessing.
Dude, come on.
Congrats,
let's go.
Dude.
I'm about to go eat. What do they have in England?
Fish
Kurt,
and chips and
me.
Mushy peas.
Yum.
Beer.
Yeah. Delicious beers.
I'm going to go get a Guinness in Ireland.
Bro, get one for me, please.
Dude, I will.
All right.
I'll send you a video of me chugging like, one.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Bop, 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 bop.
Yeah. Man, what a while. And this is like, is this going to be like your first full year of touring?
Yeah.
2020, what year is it? 25?
Yeah. It's my first year of like actually touring as an artist. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I did all the, you know, here. You do the rounds,
yeah.
And you do
yeah.
the whiskey jams, and I mean, amazing stuff. But at the same time, it is my first time like venturing out with other artists,
yeah.
Getting to play the bigger stages that you normally wouldn't get to it. Yeah,
you're gonna learn so much, man. You're gonna have so much fun.
So excited!
You're gonna figure out why everyone writes tempo.
Yeah. No kidding, right? No
you're
kidding.
Figure that shit out quick. You'll be like, oh, this crowd. I guess I got to put a cover in here.
Yeah.
I don't have the tempo.
Oh man!
But it's part of that, man. Like, I remember we had Dylan Marlowe on the pod, and he talked about,
love
man.
Dylan.
Once I got out on the road, I realized that I had to write to the road.
Yeah,
you know. You got to write to that live show, especially when you're an opener.
Yeah,
you got to win over Hardy's fans, bro.
And there's some hardcore fans, dude.
And Hardy kicks ass.
Yeah,
dude.
So like, you need to kick ass
for sure.
You know, so it's like that's part of the thing. And it's we talk about this all the time with people. It's like acoustic stuff and writers' rounds are very different than full band shows. You know, when you're out on these shows, like how long of a set are you gonna get? Do you have like an idea on that?
On the Hardy tour, I believe it's 20
yeah.
or 15.
Yep.
And we're doing some more opening stuff this weekend. By the time this comes out, it'll already be past probably. Yep. But
with Lauren too, right?
With Lauren Watkins. Yeah. We're doing like 30 on those. Mainly so acoustic good. Stuff except for the festivals
cool.
this year.
Yeah.
But
Do you have a band put together? Or are you still like working on that?
We're still getting it put together and everything. Yeah. So I'm pumped. Parker Daniels playing guitar with me, so that'll be fun.
Dude, we love Parker.
Dude, he's the best.
Also,
he is so funny, dude.
He's hilarious, and he's just a genuinely great human to be around.
Yeah.
And by the way, wildly talented.
Oh, you know? Dude, absolutely. He's like, he's showing me stuff on even just like playing guitar and everything. It's just like, golly. He shows me different ways to play chords I didn't even know existed. And I'm like, well, thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. It'll probably
there
be
you
good
go.
For me.
Yeah.
Unlock something in your brain for writing, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's wild.
What are some of the things that, like, you've learned about writing songs that, you know, you never really thought of before it kind of hit you? Is there anything like that?
Really, since I moved here and started writing songs, mm-hmm. like, heavily, I would say... the best thing that I've learned is like just stay out of the way of the person that's like hot. Like mm-hmm. if somebody's really crushing it on a certain day, just kind of let them do their thing mm-hmm. and help them out as best you can. I've been that guy, and also other times I've seen people. I've been in rooms that other people have written most of the song in an hour and we're done.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just try to stay true to myself too, where it's like if I've lived it or I feel it or, you know, if I've been there, I'm sure there's somebody else that has. I'm 23 years old. So yeah. It's like if I can just tell my story in my own words and hopefully somebody can relate to it, then I did my job, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, those are the two things that I've learned.
Hell yeah.
Especially since
well,
I've been
who are you writing with on this new single?
So Something to You was me, Johnny Clausen, Colton Venner, mm-hmm. and Will Weatherly.
What a crew.
That's an A team.
The boys,
yeah,
man. The
no
boys.
Doubt. Yeah.
And Can't Make That Up. It comes out March 21st. It was me, Brinley Addington, and Jared Hampton from Lanco. So
oh, cool.
Yeah, man. Just great dudes. I've really kind of figured out who I write best with these days, and been sticking to that a lot. So you'll see a lot of familiar names on all these songs that I'm putting out too.
Man, that's how Luke's catalog
so
is.
Fun.
I'm sure that's Hardy's catalog's probably that way.
Oh
know?
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, man.
Have you had any like pinch me moments in the writer's room in terms of like co-writers or?
Oh, dude, for sure. I mean. It has been so fun to me, especially like when you become I wouldn't say established, but when your artist career is like happening a little bit more, you get better rights, you know? So I go into rooms and it still is crazy to me that I'm like Jeff Hyde. I wrote with him a few weeks ago and he's like wrote Springsteen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like one of the most iconic songs to me when mm-hmm. I was growing up and everything. So it's so cool to listen to. And I am like shameless when it comes to asking these guys or telling these guys that I appreciate their work. But I ask the stories and I want to hear them. And Scooter Caruso, I wrote with him not too long ago and he told me the whole story about Anything But Mine. And all that. And I remember waking up and eating Fruit Loops at my mom's house, getting ready for school, and the Ferris wheel video, Kenny Chesney, Anything But Mine's on the TV. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm writing songs with the guy that wrote that. And that those songs like shaped my whole life, dude. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's nuts. But those are definitely, I have had a few pinch me moments where I'm just like, I don't, it's nerve wracking because it's like, man, I listened to this guy like, do this thing years ago and now I'm like in the shoes. Like I have a seat here.
Yeah.
You know, which is super cool.
Just to piggyback on Nick's question, great question, Nick, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
So let's put some stuff in the ether. Dream Rights.
Oh, Dream Rights. That's golly. Let me think. Oh, I got to do one of them, Casey Beathard. That was another one piggybacking on his thing.
Yeah.
He told me the whole story about no shoes, no shirt, no problem. And I was just like, oh, my God, dude. It's insane because you hear all these stories, and it was so different back then of, like, how songs get cut and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, now my dream rights, I mean, artist-wise, I would love to write with Luke, Hardy,
yep.
Those kind of things. Because at heart, I'm still a writer, but... I don't know.
Well, those are two I'd love to. I've written with Luke before, but
it's hard to think of all the writers off the top of my head. Yeah. I'm like, golly.
Well, yeah. those are great
Give
writers.
Me some time on
they
that
just one. Happen to be
we know,
artists.
We know a guy on the Hardy front.
Yeah, right.
No, but I mean, dude, those are legends in the industry, and it's wild because they're legends both as artists,
yeah,
but also as writers.
For
Absolutely.
Sure.
You know, like
Stephen
I remember,
Wilson Jr. is another artist that I would love to write with just because his way of saying things is nuts.
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome.
It's distinct. like when you hear a Stephen Wilson Jr. song, you can kind of hear it. Hardy is 1,000% like that.
So yeah. True.
Like you can hear Hardy's cadence when someone else cuts the song.
Yeah, dude, literally. Yeah. It's crazy.
Which is cool. And same thing with Luke. Like Luke's sound, his style is undeniable.
For sure.
To where even when you hear like a slightly dirty song, you might know it's him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like that's how it works. You know what I mean? It's like, it's, you build your style. They talk about it. It's like, you, the greats copy and then they develop from there. They for take sure. the 10% of this, 10% of that, 10% of that.
Emulate and then innovate.
Yeah, that's
Miles
it.
Davis says that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kurt, gosh, you got me thinking about this rider thing now.
Yeah.
I have to find an answer for this because there's there's names in my head, but I don't know.
Sounds like you've written with most of them already.
That's the I've cool written part, with a few man. Of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, since that's happening, your world's been like rolling fast.
Yeah.
And honestly, brother, you're going to look back a year from now and you're going to be like, that wasn't fast. Yeah. This was fast.
Yeah, so, dude.
You know?
Everybody's telling me it goes by a lot faster on the road. So
yeah. The
show I'm about
dates.
To buckle up.
Yeah.
About to go.
Show dates are, you know, that's a week goes by and it feels like a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you're home for a day.
Yeah. Maybe two.
Maybe two if you're lucky.
And then hopefully we'll get you to play a rider show when you're back.
Absolutely, brother. Yeah. You got me anytime.
No, dude. We
Hey, we got that on video.
Yeah. Dude, absolutely. Anytime. Yeah.
He's like, dang it.
Yeah. No, but man, it's honestly like part of the coolest thing about what we get to do in the event space is to watch people get to the point where they can't come play our events. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or it's like, hey, special occasion, yes. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
It's cool to watch people's careers grow to where it's like, that's they're on the run, baby.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And dude, I mean, Whiskey Jam is a great example as well. Like, y'all, Whiskey Jam, it's just, y'all have such a platform for young artists that, dude, y'all's round was like the first one I played when I came to town. And I had no business even playing that. So thank you, and Matt, everybody. It's like y'all gave a platform to people that really didn't probably deserve the platform at that time, and it helps
You're
us.
Wrong.
What?
No, it's just you are absolutely deserving of it. That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, like, those new guys to town that, like, move here and y'all give that platform to them. It's awesome. It really is. And I love meeting people at y'all's rounds too that are new to town now.
Well,
it's crazy.
And that's the thing we talk about, like, specifically Tuesdays, like Matt's round on Tuesday.
Yeah.
When it was at Live Oak, everyone's sitting in that pocket right beside the stage on the side stage.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Making their friends.
By the cooler.
Figuring out.
By the cooler, free beer.
Who would have thought?
Figuring out who their buddies are that they want to write songs with.
Yeah,
you
man.
You know, like talking about, here's how I'm going to get there. You know, like that's so important.
It's vital to the whole thing.
Yep. And Sundays are a little different. Sunday is a little bit more of a, it's still the weekend. We're going to party a little bit more.
Dude, I rarely make it out on a Sunday night.
Oh, yeah, we totally get it.
But them Tuesdays, I'm there.
Yeah. And then now Wednesdays, our Wednesday thing is, it's like a mix of the two because it has the energy of the full band thing.
Yeah.
But it still has the, like, Wednesday is the scene day.
For
you know?
Sure.
So we get the scene. We get A&R people coming out. We get, you know, managers that are looking for clients. We
festivals.
Get, yeah.
I think Tracker, this is wild that you say that because the first time Tracker actually came and watched me play was at a Raise Rowdy round.
That's out.
That's nuts.
That's so sick.
I didn't even think about that. It was at Losers.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
Well, that's how it works though, man.
Wow.
I mean, it's an ecosystem.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It's like my mom would call it like a salmon breeding ground for artists, you know?
Well, it is. And one of my favorite things, too, is when someone comes and you hear something, right? You're like, their voice is super cool or like, man, that one song breaks through. And then you next time they come back, you're like, oh, no, they didn't even play that song. They got these songs and they're just as good. Or like hearing someone's voice develop. You know, like what someone sound like. Like Ella Langley does not sound the same as she did when she moved to town. She
for
does
sure.
not. You know, she figured out exactly how she sounds the best and like works.
Yeah.
You know, it's super cool to get to see that develop.
Happen, you know? In time, yeah.
And dude, guys like Johnny Clausen, like,
oh my God.
Johnny's so talented as a writer.
Say enough good about
singer
that
too, but like hearing his songs go from very good to great.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Matt always having him and Kyle and Dawsey on.
Yeah.
And they were good from the first time I saw them. But then every time they're back, they're better.
It's wild.
And now
it's
they're
fun.
Starting to get some hits.
You watch them now, it's like, oh yeah, he's playing this Blake Shelton song. And then you got an Ella Langley song up next. They're both on the radio. I'm like, oh, cool guy. And then Chris Young song. It's like,
I'm
so excited for him. And then, you know, he has a few of them, that little guy, McCoy Moore. He has a few of those cuts too. So he plays those sometimes.
Well, those are ones that hopefully
if he gets
won't
four songs
songs
in a round.
It might change, dude.
Yep.
You know. Hey, we're trying to... I'm speaking this into existence.
Speak it, brother.
But he has the two on the radio. I'm pretty confident they're going to go number one. Mm-hmm. If we can just get that Something to You song on the radio and make it go number one, get him the triple play, just saying.
Do it for Johnny.
Be pretty awesome. Do it for old Johnny boy.
Do we love Johnny.
Me too, man.
He is not only one of the most talented people in town, also just a great human.
Dude, awesome.
Just... a fantastic
He's a good boy.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Talented.
Mm-hmm.
That's sure, what this man. Town is full of, man. It's full of dreamers that's hearts filled by what they get to do here. And they couldn't imagine doing anything else, just like you talked about.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the best. There's so many guys now that I write with all the time that they're still just it doesn't matter. They could get a Blake Shelton cut. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I'm like, hey, man, I'm cutting your song. And they're just, like, over the moon about it. And just like, I'm Blake Shelton or something. And I'm like, dude, y'all, it's the best. They just get happy over the small artist, and makes me happy, too.
Every big artist used to be a small artist.
That's true.
That's true. Very true.
Amen.
So cool, man.
All right, well, I got a question.
Yep, please.
That question you asked Luke Combs.
I was going to say that. Go ahead. Man, I was going to say that. The one your
all
mom
those
asked?
Years ago. No, no, no.
Oh,
okay. You can ask that one after.
All right, okay.
All those years ago, you asked Luke.
Yeah.
What his dream hunt was.
Oh, yes.
So what's your dream hunt?
I have had this same answer for years because I love hunting. I want to fly to New Zealand. Yes.
Okay.
Bow hunt. I want to fly to New Zealand and kill a red stag with my bow in the mountains by the beach. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do.
That's the dream hunt.
It is. If you have not seen New Zealand, dude, it is beautiful. Beautiful.
Have you been?
Nope. I think I saw it on a Microsoft desktop picture one time.
I was just there last month. And
Yeah,
it's wild down there.
Is it great?
Yeah, dude.
Okay,
awesome.
Cool. I mean, I thought you were about to crush
No, this is a great answer. No. We had a couple guys hunt down there. And I'll put you in contact with them, and you can pick their brains about it.
Dude, yes, please.
Yeah.
Your
easy.
Turn.
Well, I was going to say, the question that your mom asked Luke, you know, if you have any advice for a young kid coming up, now that you're, you know, on the up and up, do you have any advice for the younger artists in town?
Yeah, and I would honestly say that, like, my advice would be the same thing that Luke told me that day, where it's like, a lot of people are going to tell you no, and it's a lot of people are not going to believe in the thing, and you're going to have to work really, really hard, but at the same time, it really doesn't matter as long as you have, like, the core group of people that do believe in the little crazy part of your brain that says you can do this, and, like, you can go for it and be unashamed of it and do the thing, no matter what anybody says. Like, if you believe you can do it, you know? And that would be my advice, is just kind of carrying the torch that Luke passed to me, you know, that day. So it's, if I had kids one day, I probably wouldn't tell them to do what I chose to do ever. But if there's some kid that's 17 years old that's like, hey, should I move to Nashville and try to write songs? I'd be like, hell yeah, dude, do it.
Yeah.
If you want to do it that bad, do it.
Yeah.
But don't turn around in 10 years and go back home. Just keep pressing on.
Yeah.
I think that's great advice, man. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to move to Nashville to do it like you did. You know, there's different ways to skin the cat, of course, but
I would say it helps for sure.
Yeah, and if you know, if you don't, you're always going to wonder what if, which we don't want to have to worry about that.
And I think that's everybody here's biggest fear. It's wondering what if. Yeah. At least mine.
No doubt. Well, you're on the right track, man. Pun not intended.
So we talked about the two songs. At this point, we'll both be out.
Yeah.
What's, do you guys have plans for more?
As of right now, we have an EP that is set to come out.
Yeah.
Can't say that. Never mind.
There's some secret stuff behind the scenes that we're not allowed to talk about. That's all good.
Hey, we have a good amount of songs ready to go.
Yep.
I'm still writing all the time, so there are still songs ready to go in the can. So I can't say too much.
No, dude, that's literally how all of this works.
But yeah, we are ready for this year for sure.
Hell yeah! Congrats, man.
Thank you so much.
We're really so proud of you, dude. Appreciate it. Dude, we really are.
Thank you, man. It's the best. It's so cool. And it's wild. It all goes by really fast.
Yeah.
I'm just thankful for it, man. And thankful for you guys.
Of course, man. Thanks for coming in and hanging with us.
Thanks for always, doing right by us.
All right, we'll drink a beer soon.
Dude, let's do it right now.
Okay. I got one sip left, yeah.
I have none.
I'm old,
but
so
I'm about to get another one.
Hey, right over there. We got a 4-pack for you to take.
It's Nick's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, happy birthday to me.
Dude, yeah, we're going to celebrate tonight. Yeah. All Fortnite.
Yeah. We're going to play Pillars.
Oh, dude, yes. don't let that boy get a shockwave.
Oh, God.
So nerdy, dude.
Bro, but the best.
Oh, man.
But, man, it's been great to get to know you.
Dude,
from the time you were a baby boy to now when you look like you're 40 and you're still only 24.
Thanks, man.
40.
Dude, I've had crow's feet since I was 9.
Oh, God.
It's rough.
No, dude. That's going to serve you extremely well when you look exactly the same age in 20 years.
You know? We'll see about that. Yeah. We'll see
how the road treats him first, Nick.
Yeah,
see how much of this hair falls out.
Hey, that's the best part about baseball caps.
Yeah. Raised rowdy hats.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go. Shameless plug.
Mm-hmm. Godspeed.
A little shame in there, but it's fine.
Yeah. Well, brother, it's been great getting to like really sit down and chat. It's been a long time since. I mean, we get to chat on the internet sometimes, but like it's been good to get the cut.
Always
cut
good up. To see you, boys.
You too, man. We appreciate the shit out of you.
See you on Fortnite.
Well, guys, make sure if you do not follow McCoy yet, the journey is kind of just getting started, even though it's been going for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Catch him on the road. Come hang with us at Tailgate and Tall Boys.
Come see us.
That's going to be sick as heck. And
it's going to be awesome, dude.
I'm Nicky T.
I'm Kurt Ozon. And we'll see you on the road. Thank you, McCoy. Love you, dog.
Love y'all.
Cheers, bye. Beers.